Did you really drag me in here to listen to another one of your podcasts?
Dude, you're embarrassing me in front of the wizards.
You want a juice box and some string cheese?
Do you really have that?
Fourth wall break inside a fourth wall break. That's like 16 walls.
Flawless victory.
Mother, what's wrong with me?
Darling, I don't have to answer to you. I'm Batman.
Why'd you open your bong hole, you smelly hippie?
It's clobbering time.
This is the men who look bad in spandex? That's disgusting. Are you seriously calling it that?
Yeah. They're like, use the coasters, Max. And I was like, oh, there's coasters? Like, what's the point of having coasters if you're not going to use them?
That's true. Well, they do look very professional.
Do I look like the piece of crap who doesn't use coasters? Do I? Steve, honestly. You look at me, I come into your house, you're a coaster guy. Do I put my drinks, like, purposefully right to the left of the coaster? No.
I'm gonna say highly unlikely.
Yeah, highly unlikely. I'm a guy. I'm a man.
Yeah.
I'm not a punk.
No. I'm kind of a punk because I'm making them, you know, I'm eating this. And
it's okay. I think it adds a lot of flavor. Get it? To our podcast. It's the man who looked bad in spandex. You are live right now.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's okay. You eat.
Seems like a bad.
I just want to watch you eat.
Seems like a bad choice.
I just want to watch you eat. Mm. You know, that's always one thing. That's why I love the shawarma scene in the original Avengers. You don't ever see your heroes eat. You don't ever see your heroes do anything normal.
No.
Like, do you remember when Vision and Wanda did the paprikash thing? Mm. What was that, in Civil War? I think that was in Civil War.
It was.
Yeah. I was like, this is great. Look at this character development. Show me more. Can we see him playing ping pong?
I mean,
like the party scene, that was my favorite scene of Ultron, the opening scene.
Oh, with the big party?
Yeah, and then the end, they're all there at the end, and they're all really good friends. They're like, hey, Thor's like, you want to lift my hammer? And everybody's like, yeah, we do. That's a great scene. That's because it gives you so much depth to who those characters are.
It does. That movie's highly underrated, I think.
The first event? Oh, the
second one?
Yeah, Age of Ultron?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Most people don't like it the best. I'll give you. It does have, pacing-wise, there's things about it that are troubling, but as far as like character development, it probably has the most save of Civil War, and Civil War is not even an Avengers movie, so
no, it's more like an entire MCU movie, which brings me to my next point. When it's not their movie, I've seen a hilarious meme going around about how superheroes, when it's not their movie, the world's still like in danger, but you know, only Iron Man will fix it this time. Now, Captain America's got this. There's a bunch of flying airships ready to arm themselves under the control of Hydra and shoot people literally in seconds. Captain's like, hey, Thor, do me a favor. Stay home on this one, big guy. I got it.
Well, you remember, did you see any of those YouTube videos of what Thor was doing during Civil War?
Oh, yes.
Where he had that roommate.
Roommate.
And they had like a biker.
He put the Mjolnir on top of the toilet seat.
Yes.
That was hilarious.
That's there's a whole, I don't know, there's like three or four of them. And he's like, I'm paying rent. And he like stops down a pile of gold. And he's like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, what is this?
That was a great promo. That was absolutely genius.
Oh, it's good. Oh, don't worry what Thor's doing. This is what Thor's doing. He's like sitting on a couch.
Yeah. It's better than Hemsworth workout videos. That dude goes hard. Yeah, you haven't seen him, obviously. Obviously, you haven't.
I've seen things with him surfing and running on the beach.
Oh, he's from Australia.
Yeah.
I think they're born with that unique ability.
It makes sense that in fighting alligators. If Crocodile Dundee taught me anything, they know how to go through the bush. If
Crocodile taught me anything, I know what a knife looks like. That's
true.
That's for sure. That's not a knife. This is a knife.
It's one of the other things they come with, knowing what a knife is.
Mm. It's a great movie.
I haven't seen any workout videos for him.
No, you haven't seen this guy?
I haven't, huh?
This guy's insane, Steve. The way he does it, it's like CrossFit from hell. It is horrible. And I don't mind CrossFit. Like, I'm not a CrossFit bro, nor am I a CrossFit gal. I'm just not into CrossFit, all right? I don't want to be the best at working out. I just want to, you know, lift a truck. So, what basically he gets down to is the absolute insanity of just like movement everywhere in such strange ways with like a guy behind you. He's pushing a sled while doing sit-ups and then jumping jacks at the same time.
That's crazy.
I'm exaggerating, obviously, but the guy is constant motion. And if you've seen him, of course, well, that's what they pay the big bucks for. You know, it's like Jason Momoa with his shirt off. It's like, oh, that's what you came for, huh? Yeah. Okay. That's what my wife says. She's like, I was like, who's your favorite Avenger? Thor. Oh, why? Have you seen him?
Right. Yeah. Well,
Hemsworth. The type of guy that, like, Michelangelo would carve something out of marble from, right?
I mean, he is a very shapely man.
Gosh. Yeah.
So, yeah. So
you work hard for that. You work hard for that physique, I mean, so I'll give it to him.
You know, he gets paid a lot for that, too, I guess. You know, I think naturally he's just shaped a certain way, which, I mean, God bless him, I guess.
Yeah.
But nevertheless.
Right? Yeah. Who saw him and said, okay, everybody else, you don't have to audition. We got Thor.
Man. I do kind of wonder about who else auditions for that part in general.
Yeah.
Because he's got the height just naturally.
Yep.
His general shape, I mean, I'll give you, okay, so all the workout stuff to put on the extra muscle to sell it. But at the beginning of the day, he already shows up at, what, 6'9"?
Yeah.
And wide in the shoulders?
Big.
So
is he 6'9"? That's like 4 inches taller than me, Steve.
No. How tall are you?
That's intimidating. I'm 6'5". That's intimidating, bro.
Okay. So no, he's probably 6'5".
Yeah.
He's probably about your
height.
That's
better.
Yeah.
That
makes sense.
That's so much better.
I'm not a tall man, so.
Right? I was in line when we all got dismissed when they found Hemsworth, of course. No, just kidding.
Yeah, see? Well.
Just kidding.
It's good to go places.
Because he was such an absolute nobody before this.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea who he was when that number one came out.
Understandable. That so you've seen Cabin in the Woods, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Cabin in the Woods was made before the Thor thing
happened.
That's
right.
And it was only released after the Thor thing happened. So Joss Whedon made it. So
It was Joss who picked him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense,
so Joss
though.
Joss made Cabin in the Woods before with Mr. Hemsworth playing the jock guy.
Cabin in the Woods is bonkers, Steve.
It is crazy. It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's a great cliche, just taking all the cliches and being like, here you go.
I mean, you saw how dangerous the unicorn was, right? They are not to be messed with.
The end is so
do
good.
Do not trifle with
the
them.
End is so good.
Oh, no, it's awesome.
So good. No spoilers here. You got to watch that movie. That's a movie you got to watch, because if you want a good movie experience, that's one of them.
Oh, no, yeah. It's twisted. It's got interesting, like, what you think is going on is not necessarily what's going on. It's... Yeah, it's got a really cool, like, weird backdrop to it.
Yeah, great premise.
Oh, yeah.
Solid stuff. I could see it. Did Joss write that, too?
I don't have any idea.
Okay.
All I really know is he made it. I don't know much more past that, and that Hemsworth becoming Thor is what got it released.
Well, Joss did Buffy, so he did have a, like, horror. He had a horror background, right?
As far as, like...
I'm sure he has quite a few credits. I have no idea.
Outside of Firefly and Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel and everything that spun out of those two shows... I mean, the dude's got his hands in plenty of, like, stylized horror or scary shows.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, as far as things, I mean, sci-fi, too. I mean, Firefly's...
Great.
I mean, it's fantastic. Opening song, not such a fan.
What are you going to do?
I mean, at this point, I just fast forward through it.
The only theme song I care about is the Cheers theme song, all right?
It's good.
If I want to be somewhere and I want to, like, hear a song from a television show, I'm not even going Quantum Leap, brother.
Quantum's pretty good.
Going straight to Cheers.
All right.
Do, 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 do.
Oh, yeah. And be where everybody knows your name. Makes sense.
That's right.
It's a good one.
That's why I love the comic shop, dude.
Yeah, it's true.
That's all right. It's the top five comics. Yeah. It's in the Hillcrest Plaza, right above Cameo Hairstyling Salon, right off the... intersection of First and Orchard. It's the new year, so this is the very first episode of season 2.
It's true.
So thank you for listening, and we appreciate you joining us for another wonderful edition of Men Who Look Bad in Spandex.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Let's not ever put that together, like, on a Christmas card.
I mean, as long as it's phrased right, it's probably fine.
I was always wondering how I would look in the Wolverine costume. Then we went to Comic-Con, and I was like, it's not going to be good, that's for sure. Woo!
Oh, man.
God bless those people.
There are some winners, and there are some that, people like to try. It's fine.
I know. I'm not going to knock a cosplayer ever. They do their thing.
Sure.
They sure do. You got to love it. yes, sir. Yes, indeed. Well, speaking of, I guess, comics and men who look bad in spandex, well, they don't look bad. They look great. It's a pretty busy year. my friend, not only for the cinematic universes, of course. I mean, I think they hope once again after, of course, 2 years of strangeness, COVID, pandemics, those types of things, where we are off and running. I think it was a fine note to end on, of course, with No Way Home.
Oh, sure.
And then you move on to the next phase. But, you know, the comics, I feel good as well about the comics. I mean, I wasn't subscribing or buying regular issues for a while, for a while, up until about 1 or 2 years ago. And I was just like, this is, feels so good because of the quality. And I think the landscape, as it's kind of been molded from, you know, all the craziness that it used to be.
Oh, there's still craziness. But yeah, as far as, I don't know, when it comes to avenues, there's a lot more.
I just think creators have so much more.
Oh, sure.
To like do, because they know that's how essentially they're going to get the money.
Right.
How they're going to get money.
Well, avenues, there's a lot more. There's a lot more venues and avenues open to different styles of story.
Well, that's even a good
even
point
in
too.
Main series of things. I mean,
that's a good point too.
When it comes to like, okay, so Weird, DC starts DC versus vampires. Okay, that makes sense because I mean, the X-Men fought vampires. Vampires are a thing, sure. DC versus vampires, why not?
I remember that storyline, that X-Men storyline.
Right?
Yeah.
Curse of the Mutants.
Yeah.
DC versus vampires is not continuity. Of course, because it gets crazy in the first issue, which makes sense why it's not continuity. It's been good. So far, there's only a couple issues out of it. But as a thing, it makes sense not to be. But then on the other hand, we have Task Force Z. And Task Force Z is a batch of characters that have died over the last couple years, resurrected through chemical goo to be alive, sort of.
With
Jason Todd leading the charge.
Love me some ambiguously superpowered goo, brother.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I'm sure at some point we'll find out it's Lazarus Pit juice or whatever. But as a thing, we have a dead resurrected Bane, a dead resurrected Man-Bat, a dead resurrected Arknight. And then the newest issue teases Deadshot, who's been dead now for at least a year, I think. So, like,
that's fun.
But that is continuity. It is in continuity story.
Wow.
How crazy does that sound? I mean, it's a zombie team led by Jason Todd. Whew. Does not sound like something would be a normal continuity book, but sure enough.
It is bonkers, man. It is absolutely bonkers.
A little weird.
I mean, they've kind of shattered a lot of norms, I think, when it came to the last few years. And that's natural, right? You can't.
I mean, yeah.
You can't rehash the same storylines. I mean, you can't.
I mean, you shouldn't.
No, absolutely not. And these writers have to take. That's what. I guess that's one thing that's can be seen as a detriment as fans clamor for their heroes and situations, right? And you know, I mean, we've seen it as the world changes. Comics try to reflect what the world is going on, and you can see that there's negative and there's very positive both sides of reactions. Whether you're talking about both big publishing houses or kind of everything, as art often imitates life as it does, not just comic books.
Sure.
I mean, you have so many, so many things and a kind of a lessening of the morality of kind of people in general, of what people accept. Now, that might be a good or bad thing, but that's not that. That's for another podcast, Steve, completely.
Sure. It's totally right? Different
but,
avenue.
Yeah. We're talking, of course, like, you know, mature prints. We're talking, of course, you know, things that are catered specifically to adult audiences. And you see the evolution of the comic book from a nickel that was, you know, a nickel that was spent on a rag or whatever they wanted to call it at the time to entertain your children is now like big business and now considered not high art, man.
Right.
Right. And I think it reflects in the storylines like what you're talking about and even what I'm reading, even with like the King in Black storyline we had that in late last year. And now as everything kind of pivots and we have a brand new Hulk to deal with as well.
Right.
It's crazy. And the Immortal Hulk was absolutely stunning with what it did and especially how it took the Jolly Green Giant.
As twists and turns,
trademark.
Man.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a whole bunch of
and there's so many other great storylines, character arcs that kind of reflect the idea of what 2022 might have in store.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And as far as teasing pieces, I mean, we've had lots of possible Kang stuff, and this whole batch of Wolverine books getting ready to happen, and It's an interesting playing field. They've been teasing the idea of this Gwen-verse. So a bunch of different Gwen Stacy's from different realities that have done different things.
It's the costume, man.
Such
a cool costume.
Yeah, she does have a really cool. Spider-Gwen definitely has a cool costume.
One of the coolest.
So, like, we'll see if they're just variant covers or if it winds up being. They're saying it's going to be a miniseries, but there's a whole bunch of variant covers getting ready to happen. They're like, Gwen if she was X-23? And I'm like, well, so it's a blonde X-23. Okay. But her gloves are pink. It looks cool.
Nice.
And then there's one if she was Cyclops, one if she was Thor. It's like a whole menagerie of them.
Yeah.
But as far as like the story, the other than teasing the covers, we don't really know much more about it than that.
Right.
So if, it may all be just a marketing whatever, but the few of the covers look cool. I mean, again, like I said, it's just a blonde version of X-23, but whatever.
Hey, yeah, pastiches are great, man. Give them credit. Everybody wants to see, that's why What If is a thing now, and it was a thing back then.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd love those alternate storylines, man. Elseworlds is one of my favorite DC imprints.
Right.
We're talking about characters.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Whenever DC was firing full speed like that, like the Elseworlds, there's a lot of really good books in there.
Super good books.
Oh, yeah.
That's actually a lot of some of my favorite Batman, from Red Reign to Bloodstorm to when he was the Green Lantern.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, Red Sun Superman is one of my favorites. It doesn't go so good for Batman, but it's one of my favorites.
Oh, that's actually one of my favorite displays of Batman, the way he goes out. So good, man. Yeah. I love Bruce Wayne, and even if he's Russian, man, that's cool.
No, it's awesome.
And he even has the, like, comrade hat.
Oh, yeah, full-on Russian Batman hat. It's great.
Yeah, the Russian Batman hat, for sure.
Nothing else, the look of it was fantastic.
Absolutely, dude. So good. So good. And the animated, actually, adaptation wasn't too bad either.
No, they did a pretty good job.
If you have HBO Max, I recommend you check that out.
No, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
There's a few differences, but not enough to be any kind of problem or any kind of real issue. It's done pretty well, and it's really pretty close.
Yeah, and what they do with, you know, the characters and the justice they do, I think they had to, because it's a well-beloved.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, book.
Well, as far as things, occasionally it slips my mind that Mark Millar is the guy who wrote that thing.
Wow.
And so, like, that's the Kick-Ass guy. That's the Kingsman guy. That's
yep.
The King of Spies, which is his new book guy.
Like, how's the King of Spies?
First issue's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's only a 4-part miniseries. It's got a heavy Kingsman tone, but as far as like style, I mean, the art on it helps sell it too.
Well, he is English. He's British.
No, and so as far as style of story, I mean, when he originally put out Kingsman, it wasn't called Kingsman. Originally, it was called Secret Service.
No.
So Secret Service was what happened before the movies made adjustments. And the Secret Service is a little more... I don't know. It's more James Bondy.
Must have not had any pop. Does the Secret Service not pop on the marquee, Steve?
Man, I think by itself it probably would, but the difference between the two main characters is that in the book, our main character was older. He was more established as an individual, as a espionage type spy.
Yeah.
When we come to the movie, we went the whole opposite direction where he took this kid and inducted him into the service. And
origin story.
So like,
yeah,
the styling got the Eggsy character in there and made him more, I don't know, plucky, I guess, or more Spider-Man-y almost.
Love me some Taron Egerton.
Oh, no, his kid's great.
Yeah.
Like, he's awesome.
He is.
So, like, the movie made some changes. Now, since then, of course, the book has followed suit, and now
when I see.
The book comes out, it is King's Men, not Secret Service.
And is it heavy-handed, the tone, in the King? Is it the Spies, I'm sorry?
In the, King of Spies.
King of Spies.
It's a little more serious than what the newer version of Kingsman is. Like, I mean, there's still some humor, but it's not like overly humorous.
Uh-huh.
The guy doing the art for is Matteo Scalera, and like that dude can do no wrong. He's so good. Matteo, like that dude, Italian artist, my God, he is fantastic. He did books that you might know him from would be Black Science. He did that for Rick Remender.
Okay.
Over at Image. Real recently, he did the art for White Knight Harley Quinn.
Ooh, so White Knight was fun.
Third book by that's not the right name. Third book by Sean Murphy. That was hard to remember.
The Murph.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
So Sean did. So White Knight has 3 volumes. They're coming to a 4th volume that's introducing that's Batman
such a
Beyond.
Great promise. A lovely promise.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, it was. What a great team up. An epic team up. One of the best. If you don't know, it's Batman and Joker basically fighting crime.
It's kind of what the first volume's about.
Yeah. I only read the first volume. I didn't read.
Understandable.
Yeah, like
first one super strong. Second one's good too. Second one we delve into the past a little bit. the legacy of the Waynes and the Kanes and the history as it were in the Murphyverse.
That's interesting.
So it's a different...
I see.
Because Murphyverse doesn't land up quite the same way.
And Joker, does it touch on his origin whatsoever?
No.
No.
Other than giving him a namesake, which namesake that they use for
Chill?
That series.
Is Joe Chill?
No.
No.
They use... oh man, now it's left me just now with the name. What's Tim Burton's version?
Napier.
Jack Napier, there you go.
Oh!
But they do use
I'm sorry, he's still my favorite.
No,
I'm sorry.
As a thing, man, Jack can do no wrong.
That commercial where he's hilarious. Got the X, he was a bit lighthearted, but there was sinister to him.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Ledger amped up the sinister, for sure.
The different kind of Joker. When it comes to acting, as far as portrayals are concerned, Ledger's is very legendary because it's an entire transformation from himself.
He was a great real world Joker.
Oh yeah, for
That's exactly how I would imagine Joker to be if he was in the real world.
Oh yeah.
Like our world.
Right.
And yeah, he did. And I think his work for the performance is what people really respected. The people who even didn't really think that a comic book character might win something like that. So yeah, but for me, Jack, I guess it was a lighthearted clown prince of crime. Most of my original media outside of the Joker was Batman the Animated Series. Outside of the Joker in comics was Batman the Animated Series. So
sure.
Mark Hamill, of course, creates that fantastically campy but still evil enough kind of guy that laugh with him. But then all of a sudden you're like, why am I laughing with you? And then it's, oh, God, I shouldn't be laughing anymore.
Right.
Yeah, because... You know, I remember going and seeing Mask of the Phantasm in theaters, and I was just like, this is great. This guy is the Joker. And yeah, Jack, same kind of thing. And then I was like, wow. I remember watching it in theaters, and I was just like, I laughed at the pencil joke, and I realized I wasn't going to be laughing at anything else
right
after that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the only thing I laughed, even at the bus scene in the beginning. I was like, wow.
What is going on? Yeah, when it comes to like portrayal, yeah, I remember watching the theater also, and like as he came on the screen, I'm like, "That is not Heath Ledger. Who is that dude?
Right?
Like, what is going on?"
It was the
craziest thing ever to see him, and just the portrayal that he did. It's so bizarre. Like, I get kind of the same feelings from this new Batman with the Penguin, because knowing who plays the Penguin and then seeing him, it is crazy. It's like a different dude. It doesn't look like him at all.
Yeah.
So, like, the dude's normally a handsome man with his little mustache. And
do you think he's going to bring Annie Burgess Meredith into the character?
I don't know. I don't think the way he laughs after the blowing up the car and thinking he stopped in the trailer. Okay, so this is all stuff from the trailer.
That was great.
This is not spoiling anything.
That was great.
Because it's in the trailer.
Yeah, watch the trailer, people.
Yeah, at least one of them.
God.
There's a point where he thinks he blows up the Batmobile, and he's laughing to himself, and I feel like that's probably as far as it'll get. I don't think we're going to get any wah, 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 wah. I don't think that's going to happen. That's my best Meredith. I can't even say it, because I'm trying not to laugh.
Burgess Meredith.
There you go. That's the closest I can get to his rock, 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 rock. You know what I mean? Like his... I don't think it's going to be any closer than that.
You know, DeVito played him tragic.
Oh, yeah.
Really tragic. That was almost Shakespearean, what happened to him. And I think Burton, like, let DeVito kind of explore that space. But did I ever see him as a threat? I didn't.
No.
Not at all.
Not the same way.
Not the same way that I hope Colin Farrell is. And, you know, give the Penguin his due. He is an everlasting fellow. Like,
sure.
Even in the comics, and I know he sometimes gets that also-ran status because he's a guy with trick umbrellas.
Right.
But his capacity, and I compare him to the Kingpin as far as a mentality and character-wise, he doesn't have the physical stature that Kingpin has,
no.
But he still has the idea of what it means to run a business. And
I mean, if he had the opportunity to smash your head with the car door, he would.
He would.
Oh,
and he would stab you if
and then afterwards be like, maybe I shouldn't have stabbed you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then stab you again. Oh yeah. 100%.
Great stuff. Great stuff. I don't know who your favorite Batman villain is, but they are doing that Rogues Gallery. It's like an expose. I think it's almost like an encyclopedia book.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's encyclopedic. I got to look up more because I just saw it in kind of a flash. I believe it might have been email, almost an advertisement, I think, on maybe social media.
Right.
So I clicked and I looked and I had to go do something else. So what they're doing is basically an anthology of Batman villains as the greatest rogues gallery.
Oh, that's cool.
It might have been actually in I Am Batman. Might have been an advertisement in I Am Batman.
Sure.
What you just got me when I came by the store the other day. Yeah, so...
I'll have to look through the issue and see if I see it.
Yeah, it looks really good. It looks good. It's like a bunch of who's who as far as artists goes.
Right.
So that'll be good. I hope so anyway. I've always liked encyclopedic issues. I still have like the entire Howard Porter, Grant Morrison Justice League run.
Oh, man.
And I have the accompanying like encyclopedia books too.
Yeah.
So I call it the Holy Book of Jala. So it's very, so does my family.
That's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So yeah, that right there is something I'm looking forward to as well. It is the best rogues gallery ever.
Oh yeah, well, it comes to bad guys, something that we don't see. I mean, Marvel has them too, but not nearly the same.
Spider-Man, I'd put Spider-Man almost.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Almost.
Like Spider-Man has good rogues gallery. I mean, when it comes to, I don't know, DC. It feels like there's a lot more in DC. I mean, the X-Men has a rogues gallery, too.
They do.
But it's shared among a whole
lot of
plethora
people.
Of characters.
Yeah.
So, like, when you look at DC, I mean, Superman has a rogues gallery. Flash has a pretty good rogues gallery. But Batman's gallery is something borrowed from for all these other characters.
Absolutely, I mean, the best.
If it wasn't for Batman's rogues gallery, CW Arrow, as much as I love him, because I do. I think Stephen Mills is a great dude. There would be no show.
Right.
Because he borrowed everything from Batman.
Right.
Literally everything.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Ra's al Ghul, all of it.
Yes, indeed.
All of it Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, Sabre Merlin. Okay, Malcolm Merlin's. So we got one guy, and that's his one guy.
Merlin. Man. Oh, I first learned that he was an actual person. That's funny. That takes me back, because I learned in Brad Meltzer's Identity Crisis, which was an insanely good book.
Oh, yeah.
But also very strangely like a standalone type of thing.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was
don't necessarily need anything before it and afterwards.
Afterwards.
Not really. No.
Although it does address a large chunk, apparently, of JLA history. But that's another read. Check that out. I do recommend that. I remember Merlin. I was like, oh, that's a guy? That's a thing?
Yeah.
I was like, DC? What? I was like, oh, okay. It's a palette swap of Green Arrow.
I mean, that's what he is.
Oh, it's good.
Black color instead of
green. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
But with, you know, with DC, I think, you know, Fear State was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what they're doing with Future State, I think it's going to be fun as well. I don't know. What do you think as far as the next 6 months? Is this storyline going to wrap up or is it going to be a whole year?
You know, I don't know. I know that we have a storyline just started in Detective Comics that's going to be a 12-part story, but it is a 12-part story happening every week. So Detective Comics has shifted their release schedule from once a month to every week. And the first storyline...
That's great.
Well, it's wild. Don't get me wrong. I love me some Batman.
You're just holding on, huh?
I love the...
wild ride.
Idea of
Mr.
all
Mr. Toad's
the,
wild oh comic
gosh,
book
right?
ride over
I
here.
I like that ride, too.
Yeah.
Like, as a thing, I mean, the only other book that really comes out every single week right now is Spider-Man. So Spider-Man comes out every week, and Detective Comics is coming out every week. The first story is supposed to be a 12-part story dealing with the new Gotham Tower, which is what's replaced Arkham Asylum in lieu of the Joker destroying it, which is where all those zombie characters got dead.
Are you following along at home?
I mean, there's a lot of checkpoints there that you might want to get a
right,
spreadsheet.
Right, but yeah, obviously, we are picking up current stories here because we're talking about what's coming in 2022.
Right. But yeah, as far as like the future for, I mean, I don't necessarily think we'll ever see a full time where Batman's been replaced. But so far, I Am Batman has been going pretty good.
Yeah, it has.
So like, it's interesting.
Fun.
It's neat. It's neat stories.
Like they're trying to flesh out new villains.
Adding his own things. I mean, the Future State Gotham is still going too, and it's the only book that's still in that future time point.
Just revealed the new Joker.
It did.
Yeah.
So like characters, it's still fleshing itself out and moving forward and building.
I think it's probably the sales, right? I mean, that's probably why they've gone with that, because every other DC thing that did Future State is now back to normal, right?
Well, they are. It's the only book that continued forward, but it didn't even start with the original group. So like the original group of Future State, what I think...
Superman... It was Batman.
Right.
And then it was JLA. I can forget the rest.
Well, I mean, Flash had a Future State book, too. I think, and then Wonder Woman, and then the new Wonder Woman, and there's a whole across the board, like all the normal books stopped for 2 months to put out the Future State issues.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the truth on the other side of the business part of it is that what these books really were, what was what Dan DiDio was building to for.
Before he got fired.
Before they released him, was building to, which was he was calling 4G, which now at the time. 4G service wasn't a thing yet. And so what he meant for 4G to be was the fourth generation.
That's beautiful. That was a good one, Steve. Nice.
It's true.
Nice.
And like
ba-dum-tis.
The way he was selling it was the fourth 4G is going to be
generation.
The next generation of superheroes, and the liken it to the idea of Crisis, where we basically just took the 50s characters and put them back on the shelf and we ran forward with who our modern version have been since.
Yeah.
You know, Alan Scott, we shelved him. Barry Allen, we shelved him. And we moved forward with Wally West, and we moved forward with Hal Jordan.
And then Kyle Rayner.
Yes, and Kyle eventually later. Right. And that was like not necessarily the same kind of attempt, because it was a storyline that just built from deciding to retire Hal. It wasn't like a company-wide thing, but yeah, as far as where we're at now, Crisis led to our modern versions of who everybody is. Because there's people before that that most readers, depending when you started, probably never even knew who Alan Scott was. Now, he's in some modern books now. I mean, there's the book called Justice League Incarnate, and it is a multiverse version of the Justice League. So it has Alan Scott in it. So, I mean, if you're paying attention to that book, then you would know who the original Green Lantern was. And he's not a space cop. He's magic and wears a red tunic, which is weird. But yeah, so a totally different kind of thing.
The Starheart?
100% different. 100% different.
Oh,
but
man.
Yeah, with Future State, I think what it really truly was originally was all the work that was already being commissioned and already done for 4G. And again, the naming or calling it that.
They had to do something with it.
Yes.
So they're like, what do we call this? I don't want 4G because this guy's out.
Right.
So they did Future State. Is that conspiracy theory, Steve? Did you confirm that?
Because
you probably know some people, huh?
I mean, I do know people.
Know some people.
I've never had anybody full on be like, that's the truth.
Steve, you're right.
You'd have to actually talk to probably Dan to see exactly how far all that stuff was. But we know.
I'm sure that would be a fun interview.
Well,
we should reach out.
I mean, sure.
I want to try to reach out to Cliff Chang and I would love to get Simonson.
Oh, man.
Wouldn't that be like a fish?
It'd be really cool. Yeah.
Pull that one in.
Right?
Be very cool. Azzarello would be fun.
Azzarello would be good. Yeah.
Azzarello would be real good.
He might not be that hard. Like, I got Rory McConville over
You talked to Tone Rodriguez.
I've talked to Tone.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Another guy who's a heck of an interview.
Oh, no. He's an awesome dude, too.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people. I mean, you know, what's funny, too, is it's like I'm just going to start reaching out on Twitter. That's my plan.
Sure.
Just be like, hey.
There's not any reason not to. Yeah.
Want to come hang out? For 30 minutes, 40 minutes on the phone while we talk comics and shop.
Right. Random questions.
Yes. Those are the best.
Yeah, man.
Hey, do your three. Do three randos at the end of every interview.
Oh,
I love these. These are my favorite. These are what I stuck for. Yeah.
Oh, gosh, man. For a minute there, I was confused for
the questions.
I'm back with you. Okay. So go-to karaoke song.
That's right. What is it? For me, Bohemian Rhapsody's up there.
Oh, man.
By Queen. It's long and it's fun.
I was going to say long and sing-alongable, too.
Yeah, super sing-alongable,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, of course.
Is that the word for that? Absolutely. I mean, sing-alongable, too.
I don't know if it's a real word.
Coined.
Or not, it should be.
Call me Webster Merriam.
Right?
I'd go with that or Limp Bizkit. Kidding. Did I say that with a straight face?
Was it Faith you were talking about?
You know what I did it all for, Steve. I've always done it all for that.
That's true.
Break stuff.
Right.
I'm going to break stuff.
Man.
Right? One time for Christmas, I got the chocolate starfish and the hot dog flavored water. I was a happy kid.
Sure.
What can I say? Anyway. yes, indeed. So the next question is?
If you were stranded on a deserted island and you can only take 5 items with you, what 5 items would you take?
I loved it, too, because everybody was like, well, can I take do I have electricity? Or just, what about a boat? Yeah, you can take a boat. It's just 5 items. It's completely arbitrary.
Right.
And then on the final one, this is my favorite.
if you lived in Fantasyland, would you ride a chocolate pony?
And we all know the answer to that.
I mean, it does go differently for different people. It's all a matter of whether you think about it being melty or not.
Well, you know, you're riding it. You're getting hungry. You just snap off a piece of that mane and gnaw.
It's amazing how many people would cannibalize the pony.
Yes, of course. It's Fantasyland.
I mean, he's made of chocolate, so.
Right? We're riding down Glory Road, man.
It's
Let's
so funny.
Go. Layla, Let's go.
Right? Layla Del Duca said, well, can you talk? And I said, it's Fantasyland, Layla. I guess he can. And she goes, well, I don't want to eat something that could talk to me. Does his hair grow back? And I said, probably. I'm going to eat the mane.
Eat the chocolate hair.
I'm going to eat the mane, and then maybe we'll stop so he doesn't have to talk to me about how much it hurts.
If I had some time to think about this, I might actually purport that Willy Wonka's chocolate factory is like down the road, and I'm going to go make some coin.
Oh, yeah.
Is that dark? Is that too
dark? No, it's good.
It's like the candy horse glue factory. Horse glue factory.
Depending how many do I have a stable of them? I mean, that's a real question.
Oh, man.
How many do I have?
All right, before we get out of here, we hit DC pretty hard. I think that's kind of good. And to wrap it up, my friend, with DC, and then we'll move on to Marvel here with what's going on in 2022. Do you have your eye on anything specific as what you think might be a big seller or something that might garner critical acclaim?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, Joshua Williamson started his new Batman run at 118, and the first issue's pretty good. Being that the last three people that have written Batman have gone on to be just huge. And Josh, he's already doing well. It's not like he came out of nowhere. I mean, he's not Doug from accounting given the opportunity to write something.
Hey, Doug.
I know. It's always Doug. It's the worst.
You got Carl over there? No? What about Doug? Yeah. Doug over.
Send him over. Bring some water while you're coming, bro. Yeah, it's, I mean, before doing this, he was doing Birthright over at Image, and it's fantastic. Wrapped up at issue 40, maybe he got the 50. Either 40, somewhere between 46 and 50 is when it ended.
Nice.
It's really good. Is that another book called Nailbiter? Also good, totally different kind of concept.
Very good.
It's got a sequel series that I think just wrapped up, if I remember right. I guess I don't remember if it finished yet or not.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, also really good. He wrote a whole bunch of The Flash. Co-wrote along with on a couple of the event books as well.
Okay.
So the dude's got legs underneath him.
Up and coming.
So now he's taking over Batman.
That's a pretty big responsibility to get that title.
Yeah, as far as...
especially with what you mentioned, the last three.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Snyder, King, and Tinian.
Correct.
Tinian the fourth.
Yeah. So all three of them, like Tinian.
They're huge now. Yeah. Yeah.
They're
movers and shakers.
All the independent stuff for Tinian and his whole, I'm going to quit and go to work for a Substack. Okay. Right, that seems ridiculous to me, but okay.
He probably brought some people.
I mean.
He probably did.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
I mean, maybe he's not, going to capture Batman numbers, but
I wouldn't principles. Say for individual things, yeah, but principles. Whatever deal they made with him apparently was a big enough deal.
Yeah, to go away from DC, for right. sure.
Well, he's getting ready to have Something's Killing the Children return too. So like it's the newest issue 21 is solicited in the new catalog.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So here in another 2 months, we'll be back to regular issues of it.
Okay.
And it's also a book that's doing fabulously well and is super, super popular. As far as the thing, I mean, even the Eighth Prince are like $25 books.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Wow.
They are releasing, this is kind of neat. So because of the popularity, I mean, you'd have to ask somebody at Boom Comics to be 100% sure, but based on what I've seen in the past, they're releasing these things they're calling slaughter packs. And the slaughter packs are five issues.
Slaughter. That's a great name.
Well, it has to do with the story.
It's a great name, Steve.
It is. It's really good. So there are five packs of comics. So the very first one is issue 1 through 5 of Something is Killing the Children. Five individual issues, each with a special David Mack cover. So David Mack's doing the covers across the board. So they all match. It makes them a lot samey, which is a little, I don't know how I feel about it.
It's either you like the art or you don't, man. Right. It's like Michael Turner. You either like Michael Turner or you don't.
Right.
Right? I mean, exactly. It's the same thing. I mean, the same thing with Capullo, man. No. You either like Capullo or you don't.
I don't know anybody that doesn't. God. Don't tell the guy, if you've seen him, it's scary. But so nice. Like, he is so funny and nice.
Right.
I'll give you, walking through a convention in his leather jacket in the summer, July nonetheless, full on glasses, chain wallet longer than, I mean, it goes down his knee. And he is an intimidating individual. And then you start talking to him, and he's just so funny.
Oh,
he's so nice.
Oh, that's great.
Handlebar mustache, dude kills it. He is great.
Man. All right.
Anyway.
We got to wrap this bad boy up. Let's switch over to Marvel real quick, and then we're going to talk about the things you have your eye on, my friend.
Okay.
Marvel.
Marvel 2022. Things, man, well, issue 6 of the new Hulk series is promising us a dark entity from the Hulk. Now, people are saying it's going to be like Null for the Hulk. And if that's the case, I mean, we might see the first slip for Donny Cates. But as a thing, since it's a new bad guy, and if it's as big like Null is, then it's going to be an important book. So they're also leading to a crossover with Thor and the Hulk, which will be around the same time frame. So like a dual crossover where there's an individual issue that comes out that sets it up like a alpha book, and then it'll go back and forth between the two books before it's over.
Got it.
So that's, I mean, that's something that should be really good. I mean,
yeah,
Donny Cates is still killing it.
Yeah.
Hopefully this isn't like a misstep for him.
Sure.
I mean, that's just me being, I don't know. We'll see. we'll see. Everything else he's done has been golden.
Steve,
so.
You're nice, man.
I mean,
that's all right. Let it out, dude. Did you want to say facetious?
Yeah, I mean, it was being a little bit facetious, I guess. Yeah,
well, it's all right. True. It's all right, man. You can hold people to standards. I mean, everybody else does.
That's a good point.
What do you think internet dating's about?
Oh, my gosh. I thought I was swiping to the left, and I don't even know what that means.
I don't even know which direction I'm supposed to swipe.
I mean, I hear it in songs, and I'm like, okay. whatever. I thought that was about a box of clothes or something. Anyway.
Oh, God, that's man. Good. Oh, that's it's
Beyonce.
Download man. The app.
Yeah.
All right.
Man.
Is there anything else in Marvel you got your eyes on? Because, I mean, there's a ton of great independent stuff, and if you want to catch all of it, and if you want to talk it, come see this guy.
Sure.
He is definitely at the corner of First and Orchard, Tuesday.
No, Monday through Saturday.
Monday through Saturday. Mm-hmm. All right, Sunday's his day off. Don't bother him.
It still happens.
Don't bother him. Yeah, Hillcrest Plaza right above Cameo. That's where you'll find him. My friend, we obviously went a little long in this one because we were having a good time, but
sure.
we always like to wrap with the things you have your eye on. So this is sure. good to know in the beginning of 2022, my friend. This is how we open the year. This is season two. This is what they came for, Steve.
Oh man.
Give the people what they want.
Let's hope it's not too disappointing. A lot of it is Marvel, actually. I mean, the Lives and Deaths of Wolverine, both those series should be really good. I'm super disappointed because most of ours came for next week, smashed up. So we'll see what we can do about it. It's terrible.
Oh!
I'm so disappointed.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's bad news. Anyway, but the series itself should be good. People. One series is called, the way it's written is X Lives of Wolverine, but it's 10. So the 10 Lives of Wolverine, and then the other book is the 10 Deaths of Wolverine.
That's great.
And they happen synonymous with each other. So
it's absolutely
I would
fantastic,
say to get the whole picture,
sir.
You should probably read both. But uh-huh. They're designed in a way that you could probably just read one and be okay.
Yeah.
So that should be really cool. She-Hulk's got a brand new series that's actually starting next week as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being written by Rainbow Rao. Art is cool in it, so it'll be interesting to see what it is. I mean, She-Hulk, part of the reason I love her is she's the original fourth wall breaker.
Yeah, she has a great, great comic history.
Oh, yeah.
Who did that? Was that Peter David?
Man.
I think it was Peter David.
Maybe. I don't know that.
Yeah, that was great stuff before Deadpool. Way before Deadpool.
Way before. Oh yeah.
She was she had some of the best run of covers, and that was it the late 80s?
Yeah.
Is that what it was? It was just a fantastic run of covers when they gave her a little bit of that sex appeal, as they like to say. But yeah. it was good stuff. I think I'm actually excited for the show as well that'll correspond with this run.
Oh yeah, yeah. Which I mean that's probably why the new series is happening,
of course.
To be honest. But there's a one of the variant covers is a art germ cover, and on the cover she's got a word bubble where she says, "Yeah, you get it, X-Men something something comic," and it's like that. Don't quote me on that because it's not exactly what it says, but she's referencing the X-Men books on the cover.
Nice,
hilarious. But yeah, like that book seems like it'll be really cool. It's brand new. As far as like other books in general. Outside of the Wolverine stuff, we're going to have a restart from Marauders. Maybe not a restart, a volumization from Marauders. That's the X-Men book with Kitty Pryde at the helm. So it's getting it's getting volumized. It's not restarting.
Can
it's
we bring back
over.
Excalibur, Steve? Can we bring it back Excalibur?
Well, there's currently an Excalibur going.
Okay, you got to tell me these things when I'm in the shop.
Yeah, that's good.
All right.
There's currently an Excalibur going.
Okay, so you got
it's not as crazy as the 80s Excalibur. It's still kind of crazy, but not as crazy.
Dude.
Early, I mean, the late 80s stuff, man, 90s stuff. It was so
nuts,
wild.
Nuts, oh brother. Well, cool, man. Anything else before we let you go?
No, that's it. That's
all right. All right. And when you're here, next time you stop by Top 5 Comics, ask Steve about Rom the Space Knight.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You want to hear some stuff. All right. Stop by. Once again, he is at the Hillcrest Plaza above Cameo Hairstyling Salon. First and Orchard is where you find him. He's on Facebook. You answer stuff there, too, if you want to get reached out to. And yeah, all that good stuff. Indeed, my friend. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, buddy.
It's good. Great start to 2022. Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year, amigo.
What is it? 14th? Yeah. All right. New Year, new me.
Close enough.
It's the man who looked bad in spandex, baby.